In just a moment, we'll be talking with Stephen Quayle about Giants. You know, he was one of the first to even talk about Giants on this program, and we'll get his take on just what it means in the scheme of things on Coast to Coast AM. Stephen, a long time ago in a far-off place, you started talking with us about Giants, ancient Giants, biblical Giants, and turned out to be some of the most riveting material I've ever heard on this program in years. Anything new there?
Well, I think you've even had a secondary, or you had a guest on, the Egyptologist lady that was talking about the 30-foot sarcophaguses, or 20-foot sarcophaguses. On my website, stevequayle.com, Q-A-Y-L-E, there's actually a copy of one, or not a copy, but an actual one of those sarcophaguses. Now, here's why the Egyptians really basically mummified the bodies. Because I got to tell you, George, they had the understanding and technology that they would rise again in the last days. And here's what's troubling to me. You've got Anubis first appearing on the Thames in London. I have been stating that the first terrorist attack of consequence, which a major city is going to get taken out, is going to be London. Then it goes to Indianapolis, and obviously within the middle of Indianapolis, it literally means the city of Diana. And Chris, if you're listening, there you go. And if and now we go to, Chris is just one of my friends there. And if you go to the harbor, the New York Harbor coming in, and you see Anubis there. Here's what's fascinating. The giants that the lady, the archaeologist, what was that guest's name, George? I'm sorry.
Oh, boy.
It doesn't, well, you know the one I'm talking about. You asked her, I think, on air about giants, and she said that obviously she was taken into a part of one of the pyramids, I think Saqqara, where most people don't get to go. And over the years, I've had absolute confirmation. It's not what's above ground on the Giza Plateau. It's what's underneath the ground of Giza. It's not what's on above ground in Angkor Wat. It's underneath. It doesn't matter if it's Tenochtitlan or Tiwanaku. All of the great civilizations where there are still monuments of stature, it's what's under them that counts. That's why one of the promises in the Bible to Christians who turn to Jesus is they're not going to be afraid of those things coming upon the earth. That literally means coming out of the earth.
Carmen Bolter, wasn't that her?
Pardon?
Was it Carmen Bolter?
Yes. And you asked her, I think you asked her on the air. Now, these things coming upon the earth. You know, there's a passage in Isaiah where the prophet is saying, let not the giants come again. Let not the dead, D-E-A-D. That word is Rephaim. Everybody talks about the Nephilim, but that the word in Hebrew is Rephaim. So it means let not the dead ones come back. Now, I want to share something. Stan Deo has just spent the last 2 months. Everybody should listen to this, what I'm going to say. Stan is absolutely a genius. I'm not flattering him, but he spent the last 2 months revamping his cosmic conspiracy. Some of the original cosmic conspiracy books, George, went for $300-$400 on Amazon. Now, what he's done is he's taken 8 verses in the book of Daniel, probably the most prophetic picture of the future. And, I mean, when Stan spends, you know, time on something like that, you got to know that he's attacking this thing in all the different languages, all the cross-translations. And what's fascinating, last July, I think it was 7th, I had Tom Horn on my show, and Tom and I were talking about he thought the first presentation of the Giants where people would publicly get it would be on July 11, 2009. Interesting, that's when we saw the, and you and I talked about it on the air, the Wiltshire Giants. W-I-L-T-S-H-I-R-E, Wiltshire Giants in England. And that was the first reported of the landings of these giant UFOs and the Giants. Now, I was told, and I'll just go ahead and blow this one. When I say blow it, I tell everybody, but I was told by people present at a certain meeting in the last few months that basically the governments of the world are getting ready for the announcement. Supposedly, there's going to be a meeting in, and sometimes what people don't understand is when we tell stuff like this, then expose it, then they hold off for a reason if they feel it's to their benefit. But the thing that I'm trying to say is that they are getting ready to make the announcement. Now, why are the giants significant? Because in the days of Noah, the whole earth was filled with violence, okay? Look, we're not the happy love family on this planet. We blast the hell out of little children. We're killing a lot of people, and everybody's killing everybody. So love and peace and, you know, somewhere over the rainbow isn't existing on this planet at this time. So the thing I'm saying is that the giants play a very prophetic role, you know? And a lot of people get, oh, that stuff's all crazy. But they forget they forget that there's a civilization out there, there are multiple civilizations out there, and every single civilization, which was the basis of my original work on Genesis 6 Giants. And by the way, my books, I should say this because invariably I'll get 100 emails. We can't get them at Barnes & Noble. My books on the Giants and the Long Walkers are only available on my website, stevequayle.com. And you know, I'm getting emails right now. So if you want to get it, call in the morning, 719-547-9100, 719-547-9100, in the morning after 8. Now, the thing is, you remember when I brought on the pilot that flew a dead?
Oh, that was an incredible story.
That is an incredible story. By the way, he was in contact with me last month and still shakes his head over that. He's going, I used to listen to you on Coast to Coast and think you were full of you-know-what. And he said, and you heard him on the show. By the way, he really is an Air Force pilot. He really did do that. And what's fascinating, let's go to the Grand Canyon. Now, this I think most people ought to realize. There are areas in the Grand Canyon that are totally off-limit. Imagine the water in the Grand Canyon, the Colorado River, being higher. And then imagine citadels within the Grand Canyon that the military has sealed up. After you and I did one show, George, I think it would have been the second or third show. You know, I can't remember now.
Is that the one we stayed on all night?
Yes.
Remember that one?
Yes.
Okay.
And a gentleman who was running for his life called me. He knew the answer to some questions I won't tell publicly because then I can tell whether they really saw what they say they saw or not, okay? And to this day, I've never said certain things on the radio because that's my only test of veracity, okay? And a certain general once told me, ask him this, Steve. And he said, if they answer this way, you'll know. If they answer any other way, he said, they're just lying. So the man called me. He was terrified. He answered the questions. He passed the questions, okay? And he said, Steve, we hauled out, here you go, George, 25-foot-long entities, and he said, in sarcophaguses, you know, stone coffins, and they were Egyptian. He said it was the weirdest thing, though. When we went in there, there was a power, there was an emanation, there was a force that was so great that the boys in the suits had to come in to try and contain. Well, that fits the same story that we heard out of Dulce. That same, you know, I think it was probably 2007 or 2008, Dulce's an underground base in Dulce, New Mexico, in which Phil Schneider was murdered over his revelations of the alien wars there. And you can go on the internet, anybody, and look at Dulce, New Mexico. And again, we're seeing breaches, if you will, of these things coming forth. Now, the Stargates, the whole situation with Stargates, a Stargate is a transfer point, interdimensional transfer point. They're powered by light, they're powered by sound, and they're powered by an energy source. No one would ever tell me. I've seen physical drawings of them. I've never seen one personally. They don't look like the one you see on Stargate Atlantis or anything. But the point is that what we're seeing now is we're seeing entities that God set. And here's the thing I think people really have a hard time with. This is a spiritual battle. They'll acknowledge the mythological creatures. They'll acknowledge that, hey, maybe there's advanced civilizations. And the Anunnaki, mm-hmm. as the Pentagon says, the gods of the Sumerians. But you can't get them to go beyond that, because if there truly is a group of entities that the Bible teaches were so judged by God himself that he bound them in chains of everlasting darkness, then the point is that there must be a reason why those things are now being released. And so what I'm saying to you is the whole Human Genome Project, you and I did a show on this, and I really believe, you're asking me why I'm impassioned, I'm pleading with people to get it together and to understand that when all hell breaks loose, that's not just some kind of a alliteration, that's just not some metaphor. I mean, all hell is going to break loose. And Jesus said, men's hearts failing them for fear of looking after those things coming upon the earth. And see, you know, everybody will quote this guy, they'll quote I Ching, they'll quote this, they'll quote Isinger, well, whoever they'll say. But when it comes to the prophetic reality of giants, it was the intention of God that the angels stay where he put them, okay, in their own abode. But they saw that the daughters of earth were fair, and they came unto the daughters of earth. And people say, Jesus said in heaven they're neither given nor taken in marriage, but are as the angels in heaven. You know, the point is that's in heaven. These guys didn't stay where they were put. And the history of mankind and the prehistory of mankind, and when you read some of the prophecies in the Old Testament, the stones of fire, that's planets. And I'm on record as saying the same thing that Richard Souter says, the same thing that Dr. Basiago says. You know, the thing is that if people even began to understand the advanced technology, the parallel civilizations on all the planets, listen, they don't only jump space nowadays, they jump dimensions. And that's...
And they're years ahead of us, aren't they?
No. They're truly now. They're beyond years. They're now in... they're almost approaching the millennial round. That means 1,000 years of technology advanced. This is why the thing that people don't understand is why do these people want the chemtrails? I had a general tell me this, and I'm talking active duty. I'm not talking, again, retired guys. He said, do you understand, Steve, that they're doing terraforming of the atmosphere so these things can come back? And I thought, well, gee, you know, the official, when they do acknowledge it's just to reflect sunlight back for global warming, he said, uh-uh. And the thing that that people don't understand is that they have obscure names in the black world. When I say black world, of secret budgeted projects and programs, like the Genesis Project. The thing is that Mars, how many times are we told there's no water on Mars? Now we're seeing frozen ice falls. How many, the trees, and then they say, well, they're not trees, they're rock formations. All the things. Dave Flynn, his book on Cydonia. David is probably the only guy.
And a great work, by the way.
And a great work. By the way, people who want that book, there's only about 100 copies of it, and I was a publisher of it, okay? And I think at one point those books were selling for $1,000 on Amazon. Somebody told me they went that high. But David figured out something that only Isaac Newton knew existed, but would not he could not find it. And Dave Flynn, so for those of you that don't think reading a book by a guy that basically figured out the code in the book of Daniel and book of Revelation that Isaac Newton knew existed but couldn't figure it out, and Einstein, when he was queried, said, who is the greatest mind in the history of the world? And he said, Sir Isaac Newton. And he also said Tesla was the greatest scientist. You know, the thing that I think is important for people to understand is that you have lineal dimensions on time and space. But when you get into hyperdimensional physics, which Richard Hoagland talks about, I mean, Tom Bearden talks about, a lot of your guests, George, that you've had on are talking about realms of physics that are exclusively known to the elite and kept from the general public. And so what we're talking about now with the giants is we're talking about a combination of earth and heaven, not as above, so below, but above came and messed around with the below, meaning the daughters of earth, producing the great mythological creatures. And on my website, this is something that most people don't understand. They'll talk, well, I always get this question, don't the Dead Sea Scrolls talk about some of this stuff? I said, absolutely. There's a thing called the Copper Scrolls of Giants. It's on my website. It literally, stevequayle.com, click on the Giants thing and go read the Book of Giants.
Or do you believe, though, Stephen, that these giants were ETs, or were they born on this planet?
They came, they were angels who would be extraterrestrials, or you could even say extra dimensionals. And they had sex with Earth women. By the way, they weren't just test tubing it. They were enjoying a good time. This is what I say, too. Doesn't it seem a little bit out of character that someplace out in the vast array of space there's a sign flashing for the Anunnaki saying for a good time and for hot women go to planet Earth? You see what I'm saying is advanced technology would probably not have that as their priority. So what is it that the fallen angels wanted? It says in the original language that they inserted themselves into the seed of man. And when people read the Old Testament, and God said to the children of Israel to go in and kill men, women, children, those weren't normal men, women, children. They were hybrids, okay? And so when you see the great cities of Bashan, when you see the citadels of the giants, when you see footprints of individuals 36 and 48 inches long, by the way, those are on my website, when you see six fingers, six toes, and six teeth, or double sets of teeth, you know you've got issues. But when you hear the actual stories, like the gentleman, my friend, the pilot that flew one of these things out of Afghanistan, I think that must have been, George, about 2007, 2008.
Yeah.
And the thing is, he's talking about, look, this thing had so much strength that it killed an entire forward-based group of individuals that were looking for the Taliban. They had to send in guys that know how to kill the giants. The giants, by the way, don't go down with sticks and stones and normal bullets, okay? The thing is that when you find that all the myths in history, you remember the classic picture of genies? You know, you rub the ball.
They're all giants.
And do you ever notice what they have on their wrists? They have brass bands, or they have,
right.
Sometimes it'll be portrayed as
gold.
What's
the significance of that?
Well, the significance of that is that when the Giants are found in a form of stasis, STAS, suspended animation, the thing that I've been able to track down and talk to is the majority, if not all, are always wrapped in copper. They have copper bracelets on them, okay? And on the bracelet is what would be called angel script. In other words, believe it or not, angels know how to read and write. The point is that it's, I think Tom Horn said the Hebrew word is kasetat. I could be wrong on that. I'm quoting him. But the thing is that in order to bind those things, that the fallen angels and their offspring, God took care of the fallen angels, but there were specific times when a fallen angel's offspring, meaning a giant, had to be bound with a copper. I don't know why it's copper, but it had to be copper. They had to have a copper neckband, a copper wristband, and copper ankle bracelets, and on that were the names of specific angels that had charge over. Now, people say, man, that guy sounds wild. But see, the thing is that it's weird. If you go to Southeast Asia, you got the same stuff going on. You go to the Antarctic, you go to Patagonia in South America, you got the same stuff going on. No matter where you go, all over the planet, gee, why is there a central theme of this? Why is the Parthenon the size it is? Why is some of the Egyptian temples above ground, they're man size? Why are the ones underneath, the typical height of them is 30 to 40 feet? Why does the Smithsonian lie? See, people say, well, I'll get this 100 times. Well, where are all the giant bones? If you've ever seen the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark, the answer is the last scene of the movie. It is illegal for you to possess giant bones. Had a friend of mine fly up from Colorado just to see one of the plaster casts I have of the giant bones. It's on my website. And he asked me, well, Steve, why don't they let these bones loose? I said, because they're all considered Native American antiquities.
Well, and look how long it takes to find ancient human bones.
Right. And see, the interesting thing is, do you remember the case of the Kennewick man?
Yes.
The Kennewick man was basically not a Native American. He was a red-headed Irishman. And so there's a lot of controversy over what happens when you have supposedly the classic history interrupted by what I would call biblical truth and reality. And see, again, why I refer to this is there has to be an understanding of this good and evil. And this is something that obviously you can argue in a philosophy class. You can sit down and talk to people and everybody. But the presence of evil, George, everybody that I know says they've got this feeling. They've got this almost non-definable feeling that it's it. Some of the people that are sensing the earthquakes happen before.
No, you're right. You're right. It's all over the place.
Right.
It's,
and a lady, one of your listeners, her name is Ruby. She just said, Steve, why are we seeing 11 everywhere, the number 11? And she said, my friends are seeing it. All these people are seeing 11s. Well, normally the 11th hour, if I say to you, George, it's the 11th hour, what does that mean to you?
It's toward the end of whatever we're headed for.
Exactly. And so the 11th hour, I think it's God's mercy to warn a people before they go running off a cliff. And most people just simply say to God, we don't have time for you. And seriously, look at the entertainment. When we read about a television programming, okay, and we read about what people are being taught and what they're being told, and the kids that don't even know the history of this country, and the people that are being saying it's irrelevant, and then you can quote all the philosophers in history if you can remember their names, but the bottom line is it doesn't do you any good. This is why the unemployment rate for, I think it's California, correct me if I'm wrong, but for a certain age group, 25 to 45, I think the unemployment rate is up around 45%. And so the national average now, let's say 20 to 25, good night. That's depression-level unemployment. So how does unemployment factor into all this thing? The power brokers that control all the truth. Look, the media is a total controlled organization, mainstream, okay? And what's fascinating to me is that if you'll notice this, they don't talk about anything. Unless you get to the British press, the British press have got, let's say, an innate desire to tell you what's going on, but then they can't apply it to their own country, in my opinion. We're seeing micro-insect-like robotic vehicles. We're seeing all of the genetically engineered super soldiers. Every single... How about Minority Report with Tom Cruise? And now we've got the Defense Department's...
good point. Yeah.
You know, basically now you can be tried for a thought crime, and they're trying to figure out how to read your brain.
Stephen, when we come back, let's talk about the apocalypse. Let's get your take on the book of Revelation, because that is what it's all about. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment with Stephen Quayle on Coast to Coast AM. Special 4 hours with Stephen Quayle tonight. We'll take your phone calls next hour with Stephen. When we come back, we shall talk about the apocalypse on Coast to Coast AM. Stephen, throughout the history of mankind, civilizations have always thought that they were in the end times, the apocalypse. What makes this time, this period, so different?
Well, I think the technology, for one, George, and the thing that's fascinating is you've got now, for the first time in history, if you just take the idea of a national or, a global international currency, the entire, if you will, Illuminati game plan, which, by the way, is based on their understanding or their twisting of the end time events. I think the rapidity at which we're watching these things happen. Now, someone could say, well, they didn't have TV, so they've always had all these events going on. Well, you haven't had a group of individuals so sent from hell that they've determined and desired to kill 5.5 billion people on the planet. Again, Alex Jones has done a wonderful job. I can't tell you how many shows you've had with people, too, that have had people talking about the Illuminati and their plans and stuff. So we're going to leave that. But the thing is the rapidity and the escalating tension that's building in the world. We've got the situation now for World War III, which, fascinatingly enough, is all planned out also. Most people don't recognize that all wars have a commercial end. All war is based on commerce, ultimately. Von Clausewitz, who wrote the classic book on war, said, when goods don't cross borders, armies do. Now you've got a situation where it seems like the entire capital flow is moving from the West, i.e. pretty much Europe and the United States, to the East. And I mean by that, India and China predominantly, because that's almost the half the world's population. So you've got the emerging powers and you've got the fading powers. Just as the sun set on the British Empire, the sun is also coming down, the curtain's coming down on the United States. The technology is becoming so supercharged in its lethality. It used to be that a bioweapon or chemical weapon, they thought it was effective if it had 20-30% kill rate or lethal dose rate. Now they're not happy until they get up into 80-90%, and some of the weapons are 100% if they're genetically tuned in, specifically race-specific bioweapons. You and I did a whole show years ago on the whole development of race-specific bioweapons and what the bioweaponeer ultimately wants for his quintessential kiss of death. So when you say, what is the driving thing in my mind, the idea is that in the book of Revelation and in the book of Daniel and probably another six different books in the Old Testament, especially the prophets, they're talking about the dead returning. They're talking in the book of Joel about the great army. They talk about the day of the Lord. And, you know, some people just don't like to hear about this. But when you talk about the apocalypse, you cannot separate it from the Bible. You cannot separate it because it only exists there. You hear of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Right now, there are people watching the deflection up in the Fresno Valley, meaning is there any change in earth movement there? Because the seawalls underneath, if you will, the continent there are rather porous and shallow. Mm-hmm. And the point being is we get a real good quake, 9 point. What happens to the food production in this country?
Oh my gosh.
You know, and I'm telling you, I talked to someone the other day who said, boy, all eyes are on that area right now for any type of indication. You know, they use lasers and they can measure the most minute movement of the earth. Some of the people are reporting, sending me in emails as I'm talking to you now, George, that when the 7.2 earthquake went off, you know, in Lower California, the thing that's fascinating, they said that they saw water spurting out of the ground. That's really not a good sign, okay? That's happened in Oklahoma a few times and some other areas. But I think the intensity, you know, again, the book of Revelation isn't just a book of the stuff that happens. It says the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to his servant, John. John's this guy that's banished, and he gets this amazing revelation of the end time. And see, this is why I think that Stan Deo is spending so much time. By the way, when a scientist puts his heart and his talents into looking at this stuff, and basically,
As he does,
I'm telling you, it's going to blow everybody's mind. As mind-blowing as David Flynn's Cydonia work, and basically David's work on Cydonia is the same geographic coordinates on the plains of Cydonia. And by the way, the U.S. military bases, and hear me right, we have bases on Cydonia. Richard Hoagland is right on Phobos. I have been told specifically by different military contacts that we have an artificial, if you will, satellite going around Mars, which his name is Phobos. They did not create it. They just took it over. And their eyes are constantly not on the surface of Mars, but guess where? Underneath Mars. So when you take the geographic coordinates of some of the, you know, the face on Mars, which obviously NASA has pretty much done everything they can to obscure the reality of Mars, yet when you talk about this and you talk about, the giants appear on the Earth in the last days. So all my work that I've done for 37 years on this points to this time. Tom Horn's done a fabulous work on his job, Apollyon 2012. The occultists themselves, the international globalist brotherhood of death, they are looking at 2012 as being the annunciation.
Oh, everybody, look at the Vatican. They've got telescopes up there. So
right.
They're looking at, well, which is what I wanted to ask you also. What's your take on Wormwood?
Well, Wormwood's real. And the thing is that there are so many people that have been murdered who have tried to bring out the truth. Just like the dead scientist microbiologist, you start looking at the different astrophysicists and stuff that have been whacked and nuclear physicists that have been whacked, killed, murdered, assassinated, and it starts to paint a picture. The picture becomes one of complete control. You see, if the truth were known on any of the giant stuff or the ancient technology stuff, what are people going to do and react to a government that has kept this stuff hidden from them, yet reap the benefits, and they've toiled and sorrowed all their life just to basically have some pittance of a standard of living, and then that's even taken away from them. See, these guys don't leave you anything. These guys aren't as generous as a mouse in a house leaving a few crumbs on the floor. They suck up the crumbs on the floor with a vacuum cleaner, then they bite your heart out and suck your brains out through your nose. I'm talking literally the most graphic way I can. It's because people have to understand that there are events moving that will so transform their future expectation, hopes, and abilities to feed their family. What is it, 39.5 million food stamps now in this country? 39.5 million? And every day? It doesn't matter. I would say to Mr. Bernanke, I would say to Mr. Gaitner, you guys, and they know this, you cannot sell a house without a job. You cannot sell a hope without a job. You cannot spend what you do not take in. Oh, if you can, quote, print the money, you can. But the thing is, the American standard of living has depreciated so substantially. Our roads, our infrastructures are crumbling. And like I said, I quoted a proverb, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? When you've got truth, liberty, justice, and Superman's creed, for all, and that's no longer relevant, and you've got basically a dictatorial, totalitarian group of individuals that will have to go around and taser pregnant ladies and basically stomp the beautiful creation of mankind's face into the ground of history, that's pretty disconcerting, George.
Yeah, absolutely, Stephen.
So the apocalypse simply means this, the unfolding or the opening up of the events. It's just like a vault. A vault has usually, most high-dollar bank vaults have time locks on them. That vault will only open at a specific time. Isaac Newton looked into it. Dave Flynn pretty much deciphered it. Tom Horn has got different parts. See, but it's like truth is never, all truth doesn't reside in one man. God, in his mercy, puts it all out there, and different people get different parts of the puzzle. But when the puzzle parts, are brought together, the picture painted. I still have guys saying, what are you talking about? The economy is fine. Oh, yeah, take a trip to Riverside and look at the 10th city there or any city in America.
It's okay for those who are working, but for those who aren't, they're screwed up. They're just, life has collapsed for them.
Collapse is a good word. And can I tell you something? And this sounds a little more graphic, but even their reason to live instead of living and joy, the thing that I, and listen, I'm a romantic at heart, George. I do want what you want, okay? The smile on faces, a happy heart. I like to hear, if you will, the American 4th of July band. I like that stuff, okay? I like to hear the laughter of children. There's nothing I like more than the laughter of children. I've learned something, To say I'm intense is an understatement. I apologize to your listeners, okay? That's an understatement. But I learned, too, that I can...
Tonight, you're very intense tonight.
Yeah, because I'm pleading with people tonight. I'm pleading with people. I'm getting now... I used to get maybe one or two a week. I'm now getting two or three dozen a week. People panicking, bailing out, you know? They said, I can't live with my feelings. It's something so dreadful, so horrible. I have a dear friend. And
what do you mean bailing out? They're doing themselves in?
No. Getting out of the country.
Oh.
Running for their lives.
I'm not leaving. I'm staying right here.
Well, I'm telling you, you are, I am, and there are others that are crying. I even had a guy, a dear friend of mine, Bruce, that moved to Costa Rica. And, you know, he was warned a dream to get out of Costa Rica due to the volcanoes. So, you know, the place that's safe, in my opinion, the only time a person's going to be safe is when they come to a personal peace with God. Some people say to me all the time, well, I don't want to hear about God. I've had warriors tell me, my God is my pistol. I said, I got news for you. Your pistol, your rifle, your atom bomb, your laser beam, your particle beam, your sonic weapons, the smallest germ can make those ineffective if you're the only one that knows how to use them.
Absolutely.
So yeah. I'm telling the people, listen. You want laughter? Then start making a difference. It's funny because I'm a pretty outspoken guy, as you know. But when I come on your show and say, listen, start caring about other people, start making a difference in life one at a time, then I'm called a liberal. And I say, the difference is I do it with my money and not someone else's money. I'm saying those of you that have great wealth and great, quote, holdings, you ought to let go of some of those holdings and put a smile on somebody's face. It doesn't do any good to basically die the rich old crotchety guy or the old worn-out woman with $50 million in the bank, get a pretty velvet a coffin or get cremated and then, you know, leave it all to your cat or something. I guess, George, what I'm trying to say is this, is that we're out of time. We're out of time. I don't know when the big one's going to happen, if it's May or June. I know this, that if you know all of the false flags, they usually happen around April 19th, whether it was Waco, Randy Weaver, you know, all these things, Oklahoma City. The events have an occult significance. Dates and times and symbols are everything in their world. And that's what I'm worried about. You can take the bots date, July, and then I think their later date is November. What's their two means? Revolution. Revolution, isn't it? Revolution and rebellion. And
do you think some of these leaders look at the book of Revelation and say, let's use it as a playbook? And
well,
let's just do these things?
Yeah, because they believe it. And most of the Christians, and I'm saying this, most evangelical Christian churches, of which I've gone to a few, by the way, I'm not one. But the point is that, I mean, I'm not a Christian. I don't go to the evangelical churches that say, oh, the book of Revelation is just an allegorical interpretation of the times of the emperors of Rome, blah, blah, blah. It's not that, because when has the world ever had the technology to have two witnesses, and the two witnesses appear concurrently? And you can argue, there are Christians that argue, I think it's Enoch and Elijah, the only two men that have never died. Some people believe it's Enoch and Moses that come back literally from heaven and challenge the Antichrist and said, so when could they die and the whole world watch them as their bodies lie in the street of Jerusalem? And people say, when will the witnesses appear? When the manifestation of Antichrist? I had a pretty interesting insight, George. There's a difference between the throne and the ascension on that throne of Antichrist, meaning throughout history, the kings, if you will, of the earth, which the Bible talks about, and then you have the entity, the person that shows up to challenge all. And so the war, the you know, given power to take peace from the earth, if anybody's even honest, take out religion in their minds, don't want to deal with God in the minds, but the thing is where is the peace in this world? Show me where it is. Where is it coming from? Do you really believe that group in the United Nothings can do anything about it? How many times have they got caught with their fingers in the cookie jar? See, all political parties are corroded. You know, they all have, isn't it amazing? They all wave the flag, but at the end of the day, they've done nothing except collect money and wave the flag another day. And I'm so cynically disgusted with the political party system in this country, because look, you can't blame this on the Democrats and you can't blame it on the Republicans. You can blame it all on all of them. Forgive me. They all share their separate responsibility. And so if the people, how can someone vote on a 300 page health bill and not even read it? Am I missing something? Am I on a different planet? Have we just basically warped, you know?
And it's this way all over, Steve.
Yeah, it is. And you're seeing it. You're seeing the second law of thermodynamics kicking in a big way. And so the thing is that everything's wearing out, George. The infrastructure, the ability to collect taxes. I tell something, what happens when the host dies and the parasites are all sucking the blood? Guess what? The parasites either find another host or they die too. You cannot consume more than you produce. Basic economics. So if I owe $1 million of my right pocket and I have $1 million IOU from someone else, I can try and offset the debt with a excuse me, offset the debt with an asset. But the bottom line is, if they're both paper, who's going to make them good? And this is something people have to understand. It doesn't matter what generates the debt instrument. If there's no one there to settle or make it good at market value, it's worthless. So what I'm saying is this, is if you think the Wizard of Oz was behind the screen, you are behind the curtain. You ought to see what these guys are, a very elite group with all the money in the world, okay? But it's not the money that's primarily giving them their thrills. It's the power. And then ultimately it becomes what I would call the vampire factor. They are not happy until they have sucked the blood out of every man, woman, and child. And I mean that literally. These people are blood-lusting, absolutely appetite-driven crazies. And this is the times we're entering into. And unless people say stop, stop, stop. My answer is political, by the way, and in a way that's probably not favorable to most incumbents, but you have immediate recall petitions of those who have gone against, I mean immediate recall petitions of those who have been elected to office. You know, they're running scared. That's why they, the power brokers, have to generate a false flag to take the will of the people away from saying, yeah, there's something wrong here. So they'll kick in some inane story. Mark my words, they'll come up with some inane story. The press will regurgitate it out over and over and over. People will get sidetracked by the regurgitated press story and do nothing. And that's the sad. Apathy, indifference, and ignorance have killed this country. But apathy will be probably on its tombstone, with the exception that your listeners listen to your show because they know that something isn't right. They know that there's questions they have that the mainstream isn't giving them answers for. And that's why, you know, that's why there are alternative media radio shows and some publications. But look at the publications. They're all going away. Now what Rupert Murdoch's saying, he's going to charge for all his information. He basically said, I think on Drudge, you know, when they get hungry enough for our news, they'll pay for it. So, you know, the attitude is this, is that if you are a non-functional human being in the brother world of the New World Order, guess what? You're going to be turned into Soylent Green. And I don't know how to be any kinder than that.
A classic movie, wasn't it?
Yeah, with Charlton Heston. Soylent Green, by the way, was ground up dead people that they added some flavor and coloring to, and that's what they fed the masses.
Oh, you just gave away the movie now, Steve.
Yeah. Well, that's okay because, you know, the thing is most people go, what did that guy say about Soylent Green? Well, the thing is that we're talking about a carnivorous, never-ending, never-satisfied appetite to consume, consume, consume. And what made this country great was produce, produce, produce. Our manufacturing base, gone. I remember doing a show with you on GATT, General Agreement on Trades and Tariffs. We talked about NAFTA in the years that we were fighting that. You know, that was when Ross Perot said the giant sucking sound will be your lifeblood and ambition and earnings being taken out of your possession. You know, and I'm kind of paraphrasing him there. But the point being is that no one said anything then. And see, the thing is when you quit speaking out against evil, you become indifferent. And when you become indifferent to evil, then it turns and engulfs you. And that's what I see our nation. Our nation has no, if you will, moral compass any longer. And people say, I don't want to hear any of your moral crap. I just got an email from somebody saying that. Look, the idea is you tell me what made our 30s, 40s, and 50s different than now. And I'll tell you one thing. There was a reverence. There was a fear. There was a God bless America. Now that you have basically, you can go on YouTube and see the current man that's president of the United States, what he thinks of Christians and Christianity. And the point is that what I'm saying is, what does he offer in its place? And, you know, the thing is now confusion has even entered into his speeches because he has no direction. You cannot invent an asset. You cannot invent capital. You can create credit. That credit can in turn, you know, if it's correctly used, produce capital by hard blood, sweat, and tears. But the day of just basically clipping coupons and thinking you're going to retire on that boat in Lake Havasu or whatever is coming to an end. there will be no retirement. Look at just how the invasive the public airlines have become. Good night. It's not enough to pick your pockets. Now they want to make sure, you know, the size of everything when they put you into their nude scanner. It's disgusting, George.
All right, stay with us, Stephen. We're going to take 2 hours of phone calls with you next on Coast to Coast AM.